go get your Bible and pull up a chair and turn up the radio and be ready for another class of the Warren County Radio Bible School. We're going to be looking at a Sunday school lesson written about 1 Corinthians chapter 13 by E. A. Elam for the Sunday schools of October the 18th, 1925. And what we did in our last class was read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, chapter 12 that comes before 13, and chapter 14 that comes after chapter 13, that we might put this in context, because the context is the way they were using spiritual gifts in Corinth. The immediate context was for them, but the principles that we see by this apply to all throughout all ages, as we shall see. Now, the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now let's return to our Sunday school lesson. Those Corinthians, they should not be jealous of one another, because as the human body is one and hath many members, and all the members of the body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether bond or free, and we were all made to drink of one spirit. For the body is not one member, but many, Paul wrote. All the members of the human body are useful and fill their mission. So everyone in Christ's body, the church, has his mission or work. None can be ignored or mistreated, but the members should have the same care one for another. Now ye are the body of Christ, and severally members thereof. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, divers kinds of tongues. All in the church were not apostles. All were not prophets. All were not miraculously endowed as teachers. All could not work miracles, etc. But all were in one body with their respective missions. Now we talk about the purpose of spiritual gifts in this next section. Before the complete revelation of God's will, and especially in the absence of the inspired apostles, these miraculous gifts were necessary to guide the new disciples into all the truth. But they were only means of revealing and confirming the truth for the edification of the church, and were not the end or consummation for which the church was established. Moses worked miracles to convince the Israelites that God had sent him. In Exodus chapter 4, 27 through 31, the chief benefit of all this to the children of Israel came through their faith, which led them to follow Moses out of Egyptian bondage. Jesus worked miracles to convince the world that he is the Son of God in the Christ. We find many of the accounts of those miracles in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. God worked miracles through the apostles to confirm the truth which he preached. We read in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, "Now we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that were heard, lest haply we drift away from them. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which having at the first been spoken through the Lord, was confirmed unto us by them that heard, God also bearing witness with them, both by signs and wonders, and by manifold powers, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his will. But the lasting benefit to the world of all these miracles is the gospel, thus established. Faith in Jesus is the Christ and the church of the body of Christ, which springs from the gospel as fruit from the seed. When the whole truth has been revealed and enough miracles performed to confirm it, there was no further need of miracles, and they ceased. But the church, in all its harmonious and beautiful spiritual proportions, remains. The proposition, the props, the stays, the scaffolds, so necessary to the erection of a building, were all removed when the building had been completed. So Paul said to the church at Corinth during this miraculous period, "But desire earnestly the greater gifts, and still a more excellent way I show you." Our lesson gives this more excellent way, and shows what remains since miracles have ceased. Faith, hope, and love. These remain. Let me read from the explanatory notes. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 1, Paul wrote, "If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal." To speak with the tongues of men and of angels was a miracle, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, Acts chapter 2 and verse 4. God miraculously endowed men to speak with tongues which they had never heard, but this miracle did not make them necessarily morally or spiritually better. God brought miracles to one man upon another without making either necessarily morally or spiritually better. God made the dumb ass upon which Balaam wrote to speak with a man's voice and stayed the madness of the prophet, 2 Peter 2:15 and 16. But it wasn't for the moral or spiritual benefit of the ass. When Balaam reached Balak, the king of the Moabites, and for the hire of wrongdoing tried his best three times to curse God's people, God changed the curse into a blessing and made Balaam bless the Israelites three times. But this did not morally or spiritually benefit Balaam, and as he soon perished for his wickedness. The Spirit of God came upon Saul's men and upon wicked Saul himself and made him prophesy. But for that, they were no better. The apostles themselves and others, although miraculously endowed, were not made directly, morally, and spiritually better because of this. For Paul says he had to deny himself, fight sin, buffet his body, and bring it into subjection to the gospel, lest he should be finally rejected by the Lord, 1 Corinthians 9:27. Jesus himself, who had the Spirit of God without measure, was tempted in all points as we are, and had to resist Satan and overcome temptation, for he was without sin. He didn't do it by performing miracles. He said, "It is written." It was the word delivered by those miracles that Jesus relied upon. If God, by miraculous gifts or endowments, saved, made some morally and spiritually better and did not so bless all, then he's a respecter of persons. But God is no respecter of persons. Love is an act of one's own heart. Persons can love God and men or not as they choose. They become morally and spiritually better as they control their affections and set them on things above and not on things of the earth. Their moral and spiritual condition depends on the action of their own will. God can make an irresponsible ass and wicked men speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but he does not force his people to love him and to love men. They must choose for themselves to love God and others. they do this of their own accord. So unless a man loves God and loves men, if God does not cause him to speak with tongues and etc., he is nothing more than a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal so far as his own worth and spiritual good are concerned. We know what cymbals are and what a clanging sound they make. The sounding brass probably refers to a blast trumpet. Then, there is something worth more to these Corinthians than the power to perform miracles, and that was the action of their wills in proposing to serve God with reverence and all in their individual control of their own hearts and loving God and men. There is no further necessity for miracles, and they have ceased. But the work of faith, the labor of love, and patience of hope as duties, privileges, and blessings remain for us through all time. In 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 2, Paul wrote, "If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing." The gifts of this verse, prophecy, miraculous knowledge, miraculous faith, could be bestowed by God's arbitrary power and would not necessarily benefit those exercising them. Without the love, these gifts were nothing to those upon whom they were bestowed. He continues in 1 Corinthians 13 in verse 3, "If I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and if I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profiteth me nothing." A man may give all his goods to feed the poor, with no reference to God and Jesus, and without love for God or men. He may do so that he may have the glory of men. But when he does so with this motive, Jesus says he has no reward with the Father who is in heaven, Matthew 6, verses 1 through 4. A man is not a Christian then, simply because he gives his goods to feed the poor, or his money to endow orphans' asylums, or widows' homes, or colleges, or even to build houses of worship. He may do all this without love, in pride, and for his own glory. A man cannot amass a large fortune by fraudulent or even questionable means, and revel in it while he lives, and will it after he dies to some charitable institution as a sort of bribe to the Lord, and yet be saved in heaven. On the other hand, a man cannot be a Christian and be saved without being generous, liberal, and helpful to others, and especially the needy. But all his gifts and healths must be bestowed in the name of Christ in a humble and not ostentatious manner, not grudgingly either, but cheerfully and of a ready mind, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Also a man who loves God properly will forsake all that he has and lay down his own life for Christ's sake, yet he may give his body to be burned, or through some other motive other than for love of God, and for something other than the cause of Christ, and this sacrifice will profit him nothing. Thousands have given their lives for their country, but they will not be saved in heaven simply because they have done this. All service must be rendered in the name of Christ, and spring from reverence, awe, and love of God. And then, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 7, we read this beautiful text about love. "Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not his own, is not provoked, taketh not account of evil, rejoiceth not in unrighteousness, but rejoiceth in truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. This is most excellent."